Well, our Lenten series is called How to Believe Again. And the reason why I had that third chapter of John read today, of course, is because I think in this chapter we have the most perfect picture of the seeker after God that you will find anywhere within the covers of the Bible. And I want to simply look at this man Nicodemus for a short time this lunchtime. Firstly, I want us to analyze the seeker's character. And we can only do that at this point in time, nearly 2,000 years after the event, by summarizing the things that we know about this man Nicodemus. Firstly, we know he was very religious. John chapter 3 and verse 1 begins like this. There was a man of the Pharisees called Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. That name means the separated ones. It was a movement that began about 135 years before Christ, and it was a movement that began with vision, with dedication and force, a group of men who wanted to separate themselves to God. But what happened in the end? They were a group of men who separated themselves from their fellow man. And in the end, by the time of Christ, there were some 6,000 Pharisees. In their arrogance, they spoke of ordinary people like this, quote, "The crowd that knows not the law is accursed." And they multiplied the simplicity of the Ten Commandments into 100,000 lesser laws that were impossible to obey. For example, they had 1,521 lesser laws concerning Sabbath keeping. But Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was very religious. Then he was superbly diplomatic. We read in the first verse of John 3, there was a man of the Pharisees called Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a princely statesman. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the supreme court and parliament of the Jewish people. That word ruler, archon, in the Greek of the New Testament, means one invested with power and dignity, a chief ruler, a prince, a magistrate. So that's what Nicodemus was, superbly diplomatic, a member of the diplomatic service, working in government, very religious, superbly diplomatic. And then he was extremely wealthy. We read in John chapter 19 and verse 39 that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took 100 pounds weight of myrrh and aloes with which to anoint the dead body of Jesus Christ. Now, only an extremely wealthy person could have afforded to buy an embalming ointment of that amount. Extremely wealthy. Now, I think that one of the most misunderstood texts in the whole of the New Testament is how difficult it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. That word riches there in that particular part of the New Testament means things. It comes from the root verb that means use or useful. So you could translate that verse like this. How difficult it is for those who have useful things to enter the kingdom of God. So you've got to paraphrase it like this. How difficult it is, says Jesus, for those who have useful things and who are not using them to enter the kingdom of God. Well, an analysis of the seeker's character. Nicodemus was very religious. Professor C.S. Lewis says that religion is what a man thinks about God. And then he goes on to add that Christianity is what God does about man. Nicodemus was very religious, superbly diplomatic, extremely wealthy, and he was awfully unhappy. There was a man of the Pharisees called Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. Even though he was very wealthy, used in diplomatic circles, very religious, he had an aching, longing heart, and he wondered if the new preacher, Jesus of Nazareth, could still that restless heart of his And so he came to Jesus of Nazareth. In the last century, there was a famous singer called Jenny Lind, who had a voice of extraordinary brilliance and range. She was sometimes called the Swedish Nightingale. And she sang in the capitals of the world. And she once went to America for a great tour, and it ended up with a concert at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. It was impossible to buy tickets for this particular concert. You couldn't get tickets for love or money. And she gave on that occasion a superb performance, and somehow one autograph seeker managed to get through the security guards into Jenny Lind's dressing room and ask her for her autograph. And in that young lady's autograph book, she wrote these words: "In vain I seek for rest in all created good. It leaves me still unblessed and makes me cry for God. And sure at rest I cannot be until my soul finds rest in thee." And she sounded it, Jenny Lind. What a strange thing. The world at her feet, a fortune at her fingertips, and yet a restless, aching heart, just like Nicodemus. He had the world at his feet, a ruler, a rich man. He had a fortune at his fingertips. He was extremely rich. And yet he had this aching, restless heart. And he came to Jesus at night. An analysis of the seeker's character. Now let's look for a moment at analysis of the seeker's choice. Verse 3. Jesus answered Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What a strange thing to say to a ruler, a man in diplomatic service. You've got to be born anew. Now, this must be one of the most hackneyed and cliched of spiritual phrases. And yet it's so important that we understand it, because it's an important New Testament word. We can obviously understand what the word born means. That's quite simple. Let's look at this other word, again. In Greek, the word is anothen, and it means three things. It means for the second time. So Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you need to be born for the second time. It means from the beginning. So Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you must be born from the beginning. And it means from the top or above. And Jesus is being told by Nicodemus, Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you must be born from above. In Luke's account of the life of Jesus, he promises that he will trace the course of all things accurately, anothen, from the beginning. When Mark tells us at the crucifixion of Jesus that the curtain in the temple was torn, he says it was torn from anothen, from the top. Now let's look for a moment at the seeker's choice and see what is being offered to Nicodemus. Firstly, he is being offered salvation, or an entirely new start in life. He's been offered forgiveness. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you can be forgiven. All that is past in your life can be blotted out. You can be forgiven. But he's also being offered regeneration, or a radically new style of life. You can start again from scratch, says Jesus to Nicodemus. You see, there are some people who need more than forgiveness. At our student service here on Sunday night, 5 young people became Christians. And one of them had problems, and she wanted to come and see me about her problems and came to see me yesterday. A strikingly pretty young girl. You'd think that she had all the world going for her. And yet what a complicated life she told me about yesterday. She's had 4 fathers, 1 natural father and 3 stepfathers. Those fathers have been killed by tragic accident or divorce in complicated circumstances. So the whole of the life that surrounded this poor girl has been going wrong. And then her own inner life. In her middle teens, she wanted to find God, so she went into a convent. and was there for 3 years before she came to the place where she should make her final vows. Then she had to leave, saying, I can't find God in this place. Then she came to London and she had a long affair with a man from Pakistan, and in the end found that entirely unsatisfactory. And then she started a new career, and that career has fallen through. And she came to St. Helens for the first time on Sunday night and went out rejoicing as a believer in Christ in the new life that she had found. Not only in forgiveness, not only did she rejoice in forgiveness, but that she could start again in Christ. Because the scriptures say, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All that is past can be taken away. She could forget her family life, her previous life, her life in the convent, her life with the affair with that man of a different colored skin and a different culture, and the previous job that she's just had. She could start again. And that's what Nicodemus was being offered. He was being offered salvation, or an entirely new start in life, regeneration, or a radically new style of life. And then he was being offered adoption or a completely new status in life. You see, sometimes people say that the Christian gospel is that you're offered forgiveness, and that what we have filling our churches today are forgiven sinners. That's only half of the Christian gospel. What we are offered in the New Testament is sonship or daughtership or being made members of God's family. Adoption into God's family, so that we have, if you like, the royal blood of heaven running in our veins. And that's part of what Jesus offered Nicodemus. You can be born from above. You were born down here, now begin your life up there. You can be born from above. And an analysis of the seeker's character, an analysis of the seeker's choice, and for a moment, an analysis of the seeker's conqueror, because Nicodemus was conquered that night. He became a disciple of Christ. I think that John 19 and verse 39 says that clearly. Now what conquered him? I believe that it was the love of God, as it's stated in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I was surprised 2 months ago when I read that Martin Luther took that as his first text as a preacher. I've been a preacher for 11 years and I've never dared take that text yet. I'd be frightened to preach from John 3:16. Once I start, I don't know when I'd finish. I think it would take me about 60 hours to preach on these tremendous words. 24 words in English. 10 of them, the most significant, the most pregnant in the English language. I will warn you before I preach on John 3:16 so you can bring your bed and your food with you. But when I do preach on John 3:16, I know what the headings are going to be. Here are the headings. I'm not going to preach on those 10 words. I'm going to put them into 5 pairs. And my headings will be like this. Firstly, the ultimate giver and the ultimate gift. That's the 2 words, God and Son. Then the ultimate expression of God's goodness. That's the 2 words, loved and gave. And thirdly, the ultimate recipients of God's goodness. That's the 2 words, world and whoever. Fourthly, the ultimate point of human existence. The 2 words, believe and have. And then lastly, the ultimate extremes of human destiny. Perish. Life. Well, I'll let you know when I preach on John 3:16 so you can come along. The seeker's conqueror, the love of God. We're very old-fashioned in the Church of England. We call last Sunday the second Sunday in Lent. But if you were in London, really, it was the first Sunday of David Cassidy here in town. I travelled up from Woodford here on Sunday morning with a whole tube full of weenie boppers. You couldn't see them. They were covered from head to foot, their hair, their shoes, their clothing, with photographs of David Cassidy. Then one of them over the top had a sash which says, David, I love you. Now, the cross of Christ has many meanings. But one of the meanings of the cross of Christ is that God is saying to us, man, I love you. Man, I love you. This is how John Calvin puts it. In the cross of Christ, as in a splendid theater, the incomparable goodness of God is set before the whole world. The glory of God shines indeed in all creatures on high and below, but never more brightly than in the cross. Than in the cross. The seeker's conqueror. Nicodemus was conquered by the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. An analysis of the seeker's character, an analysis of the seeker's choice, an analysis of the seeker's conqueror, and now lastly for a few moments, an analysis of the seeker's commitment. As I've already said, I think that John 19 and verse 39 says that Nicodemus was an open disciple of Christ. We don't know exactly how he made his act of commitment, but John is quite clear in telling us how we make an act of commitment. He tells us in the first chapter of his gospel and verse 12. Turn back to that for a moment. John chapter 1 and verse 12. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power. That word power there is dunamis in Greek. It's our word dynamite. He gave power to become the children of God. An analysis of the seeker's commitment. Three things there. First of all, the seeker must accept the fullness of his person, that is the person of Jesus Christ, accept the fullness of his person into their life. To as many as received him, accept the fullness of the person of Jesus Christ into your life. Then accept the fullness of his promises into your mind. To as many as received him who believed in his name. The word name, or the name of God in the Bible, is the sum total of all that God is and all that he promises to the human race. To as many as received him, who accepted the fullness of his person into their life, who accepted the fullness of the promises of God into their mind, and we must thirdly accept the fullness of his power into our living. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power. He gave dynamite to become the children of God. So, accept the fullness of his person, the fullness of his promises, and the fullness of his power. Now, for 2,000 years, people have said that when you commit yourself to Christ, according to this verse, you simply ask him to come into your life. In the quietness of your own mind, say, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, come in, that I may know the truth and the experience that Nicodemus did. I too have an aching heart, a restless heart, and it also is going to be restless until it finds you. Lord Jesus Christ, come in, that I may know and be conquered by that wonderful love of God. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, it's a great delight for us to open our Bibles every Tuesday. And we thank you for the way that you, in the Bible, have given us these very simple pictures of all that we must do to find you. We're thrilled with this story of Nicodemus. A sophisticated man, a leader, a ruler, very religious, and yet he wanted to come in to being a personal follower and disciple of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the way that the scriptures show how that can happen. Receiving the fullness of Jesus into our lives, the fullness of his promises into our mind, and the fullness of his power into our living. Lord Jesus Christ, we say to you today, come in. Come in afresh to our lives, that we may know the wonderful experience of Nicodemus. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.